Meow, 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 meow.
Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 4, Episode 6 of Sticky Pickles, Closed for Maintenance and Girls Night In. Maria, during a week of untold horrors, tell me, what is your sticky pickle?
Oh, goodness. I cannot wait to tell you about how this story came into my life, but I'm going to save that for the end, because it's not the best part, but it is a funny little coda.
Oh, exciting.
So I want to introduce you to this guy, Mark. And Mark is a software engineer, aka programmer, aka a code monkey type. And he's a couple years out of grad school. He's a few jobs into his career. He's Mr. Techie Guy.
Still has a bit of peach fuzz on his chin.
Yeah, he's still young and kind of green, but he knows what he's doing and he's trying to work his way up. And I'm sure you know this, and I'm sure our savvy listeners know this, but for those that may not know, dudes in this situation tend to job hop a lot because it's pretty much the only way you're going to make a lot of money is you stay somewhere for a little while and you don't hang on for much more than like a year, depending on what the company offers you. And then you pick up and move on to the next place because recruiters are constantly like, hey, come here. Hey, come here. We always need.
Yeah. And the reason is because then every single time you just kind of add a few grand to your salary is the idea of it. Or, you know, you get a bump each time you leave.
That's right.
I hate it, too.
It's how I'm not even a programmer, but that's also what I had to do. It's just
that's how it used to work in the old days, kids.
Now you just work for Elon Musk and deliver pizzas. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Or Jesus. That's my new name for Jeff Bezos. Jesus.
Jesus.
TM Carl Terrier.
You said that so quickly. It just was stunning. Still makes me laugh. I could not do that with my name. I could not. It's amazing. So Mark is on job number 3 out of grad school, and he was living in the west coast of the U.S., and he just got this killer job offer on the East Coast. So that's a cross-country move. That is a pick up everything you own and relocate.
Kind of exciting at that age, though.
Oh, it's exactly what he wants. Like, he's been West Coast-based his whole life. All his jobs have been that way. He knows nothing about East Coast.
Get ready for hard work, Mark. That's not fair. That's not fair.
Get ready for people who are total buzzkills. No. I'm an East Coaster. I can say that.
When I was a kid, whenever I met anyone from California, they always talked so slow. Like, I found them talking slower, and I was like,
that's because you and I are East Coaster types. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of thought that went to their work ethic as well, but it turns out no.
No. They work super hard. It's just there's just a different way of life. But Mark is ready to give it a try, you know, dip his toes in that world. And he's psyched because this new East Coast job not only comes with like a big, like, this isn't just a couple grand. This is like add a few zeros. Like this is like 10, 20K bump. And lots of money. The benefits are great. And they even are helping him relocate. Like, they're going to help him do the whole move. They've identified some, like, cool neighborhoods for him to live in. And they're even giving him, like, a big chunk of change to, like, move his possessions cross-country and help pay for, like, the down payment, the upfront, what do they call it? Like, your deposit on this amazing luxury rental.
Gee. Sounds like a keeper job. Yeah.
Right? The minor stipulation with that is that when... Minor. When you accept a relocation package as hefty as what Mark is getting, they don't want you picking up and leaving. They don't want you being like, hey, now I'm in New York City. Fuck you. I'm now going to get a job that's going to pay me 100K more because now I can do that. Like, no, there's a contract that he had to sign that says, I'm going to stay in this job for 3 years. I will not, cannot leave. Otherwise, I owe them like everything they paid me plus interest. He's locked in.
Yep.
100% locked into this job. So like, don't, all those recruiter emails I'm getting spammed with every time, you know, I breathe, just they go straight into the trash. I don't even look at them when, you know, my friends are telling me, hey, this new great new place is doing a thing. Nope. Sorry, I can't. I'm off the market. It's like he's married to his job.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But I can understand that. He's got a lot more zeros. He's got to move. He has to move across the country. It's serious.
Yeah. So his job is not in like the big glamorous city. It's near a nice big city, but it's more out in the suburbs. So he works in like one of those office parks where there's a ton of different businesses nearby and they're all in those very bland office buildings. I feel like you might know what I'm talking about.
Like the one where Giuliano gave his talk.
Oh my goodness.
His hair started leaking from sweat.
The Four Seasons office park.
That's right, near the cemetery. What was it? And the porn club.
Oh, oh goodness. That actually would be more exciting than the boring place that Mark is working at. Like, the job is great, but this is where he's at is just like nameless concrete office buildings in sort of an outer suburb.
I've worked in a very similar place.
Sort of more like, I think you know what I'm talking about because you and I both used to work at a place like this. And there's like, there's nothing. It's just office stuff.
Walk 20 minutes. You want to go get a sandwich. Yep.
Yeah. Walk 20 minutes and the sandwich is bad, but it's your only option. And he's a very fit guy and he's like, wow, the weather here is a little different. It's definitely colder. I cannot work out outside as much as I used to. So I better go to the gym and I need to be really about fitness and regularly going to the gym. And there happens to be a corporate gym in the office complex. It's just like all of the offices nearby, they all kind of go to this gym because it's close by. So he's like, great, I've got this incentive to go to the gym. And he's driving with his new job. His boss, Steven, is a good dude. They get along super well, and Steven's very chill, and he's very respectful of the fact that, like, Mark has relocated. So he's not like, hey, you got to be super on the ball immediately with your new job. Like, you get some time to settle in. Like, Mark could not be more thrilled.
I'm thrilled for Mark. You know, I'm thinking, geez, hire me, dude.
Everything's coming up roses. Yeah, right? So it's a few months into Mark's new job. He's starting to settle in. He hasn't gone to that gym yet. He's like, all right, tonight's the night. I am going to go to that gym near my work. And he goes. As soon as he gets to the men's locker room to put his bag in like one of the lockers, his gym bag, there's a sign on the door and it says closed for maintenance with today's date written underneath it. So he knows this is like a recent thing. It says, and the rest of the sign says this: yet again, we have to close the sauna for strict deep cleaning because of poor behavior. May we remind you that the sauna is not a nightclub. Please respect the privacy of other patrons.
Please respect the privacy of other patrons.
Yeah. What? And Mark's having the same reaction of you. Is like, what the fuck? That's like the euphemisms on top of euphemisms. What is this supposed to mean?
It sounds like, I was just assuming someone got jiggy jiggy and left some sticky stuff in the place or something.
So that, so my question for you is,
oh God, do you clean it up if you're working at the gym?
You just get a power washer, right? Is that something you would, I mean, cause so this is, what do you think Mark is thinking? Is that you, is it that?
I'd be like, A, too much information. Just tell me closed for maintenance. Right? I don't need to be shamed.
Off. Yeah.
No one needs to be shamed publicly. What the hell happened though? Now I'm curious.
Right?
Right?
Right. So your assumption is somebody got messy in the sauna room.
That is my assumption. Or someone relieved themselves. Like, why would someone do that in a sauna? It's disgusting. Like, I mean.
Yeah. Right? So Mark is as confused but also intrigued as you are. And he's like, well, that's a bummer.
I'm not too intrigued. If someone could start talking, I'd go, okay, no.
Mark, I think, is a little more curious than you are because he's like,
dear.
Yeah. Because he's like, okay, he's trying to put two and two together. He's like, okay, I think I can guess what may have happened in the sauna, especially with the words yet again. But he's like, really? In a corporate office park gym? That seems like, really? He's just surprised. But, you know, people are people. So he's kind of bummed he can't go to the gym. And he's like, all right. couple days later, he's walking around at work near the canteen or cafeteria area, and he overhears Steven, his boss, chit-chatting with a couple of other folks at work, and they're all sort of laughing about something that's uproariously funny. And Mark kind of wants to, he wants to know what it's about, so he sort of inches closer without inserting himself into the conversation. And they are talking about the sign at the gym, chit-chatting and saying, what did you guys hear about what's going on at the gym? That sign was hilarious.
Right. So this is exactly what he's interested in as well. Right.
Right. And one of the other guys that Steven is talking to leans in and says, they got me. And Steven goes, what? And he says, yeah, they caught me. And Steven's like, were you? The other guy's like, yeah. And Mark is like, whoa. Okay.
Is this a five knuckle shuffle sort of sitch?
Mark,
did he have a date with Paul Muller? Is that the sitch we've got?
Mark is thinking the same thing. He's like, there's a lot of things that are going unsaid. But he's noticing that Steven is just sort of chuckling and laughing. Like, nobody's being shamed or tut-tutted or anything. It's all just like, this is all very, very funny.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm dying to know what it is. So he didn't ask them. He didn't say, hey, what? I saw that sign. What was it all about?
He doesn't know them well enough. And it just didn't seem like an open conversation. Like, the guys were all kind of huddled kind of close. Like, this was not meant to be overheard. You know what I mean?
You just get that feeling of, this is not the time.
So next time he has an opportunity, Mark goes on to the gym again. And it's about another week has passed. And the sauna and the gym men's locker room are all reopened. There's no nasty sign. He's like, okay, it's all good. It's all clean. He pokes his head in to the locker room. Seems innocuous enough. Like, gray and brown lockers and some basic wooden benches, like old men walking around naked with their dangly bits, as old people do. You know, they just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, the young people never walk around like
never.
That.
Never. It's the always, old people. It's always the old people who are just beyond caring. And honestly, I respect that. So it's like, when you get to a certain point, you're like, why bother with modesty? You know? Why not? Let everybody know what they're in for. I appreciate
exactly.
That kind of PSA. And Mark's like, he just puts his things in his locker. He goes to work out. He's like, I don't know, understand what the deal is. It's not like this place is a disco ball hanging from the ceiling. It's like the most boring place ever. He has his workout. He works up a good sweat. He's like, oh, well, this East Coast cold weather has me feeling a little tense. This feels like a good opportunity for the sauna.
Finally, we're there. Okay. He's opening.
Yeah, I've taken my sweet ass time getting there. Sorry. And,
good.
You know, some saunas have a window on the door. Some
yes.
saunas don't, but
yeah.
This one does. But the window steamed up. So he's like, all right, I'm sure.
I just had a new idea of what it might be. Can I guess?
No. No, you can't.
Okay, I'll write it down. I'm writing it down. And then
write it down. Everybody take notes. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Everybody write down your guesses for what's about to happen next, because it's totally not, hasn't been projected at all. And it's not predictable. I'm sure nobody has guessed.
Okay, I've written it down. Don't read.
He opens the door and he sees his boss, Steve's. In flagrante derelicto. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
He sees his boss fucking another guy.
Oh.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's fucking another guy. It says he sees his boss buck ass naked fucking somebody in the sauna.
At the local gym?
At the gym. Mark 100% recognizes his boss's face, even though his boss's face is, you know, contorted. And
I was going to say, what was it in his ass that gave him away?
No, his face. You see, like, the angle is such that, like, face was seen. And Steven, when the door opens, sees Mark. Like, there's no, like, they both recognize each other.
Oh.
Like, there's no
yeah,
way
I guess
to be
you
like.
You would shag face in the door just in case, right? See, I think it would be smarter to do it the other way around, because then you'd be like, I just saw some two butts. I don't even know.
I suppose. But I'm thinking of the sauna at my gym, which is just super tiny, that it's only oriented a certain way. You can only, like, the faces are just very obvious. I don't know. Anywho, I actually really thought about the logistics of fucking in a sauna. I really thought about this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look, you know, if you're ever feeling a little frisky, now you know you've worked out all the logistics. You've got this sorted now.
So Mark recognizes his boss doing something that is considered to be wildly inappropriate. I'm going to pretend I didn't see that, but my boss definitely knows that I saw him, and I don't know what the hell to do about it. So Mark gets home, you know, he's been driving back to his place, and he's been sort of like laughing about this because this is totally absurd. He's like, I don't care what two people are doing. Like,
it's not my business. I don't give a shit.
Not my business. But I did see my boss doing something like just, you know, yeah. And my boss knows that I saw him. Like, this wasn't like I peeped and I saw this and I can be like, I can pretend I didn't see that. Like, he knows that I know.
Do you buy your boss a balaclava to help him stay anonymous in future?
A sauna balaclava. I feel like that should have been the name of my story. Sauna balaclava. As weeks go on, there is so much awkwardness between him and his boss. Like, nothing is said. There's no, like, Steven pulling Mark aside being like, I know you saw. Like, none of that. Like, literally nobody's talking about this because, like, maybe nothing needs to be said. But the awkwardness is growing. It's just, like, it's becoming almost unbearable. And may I remind you that Mark cannot leave this job?
Yes.
Okay. So Mark recounts this whole story to a good buddy of his and basically says, okay, if you were in my situation, what would you do, if anything?
Let me just recap to make sure I understand. So he is still in the job. There's no way he can leave this job. He has seen his boss doing the nasty in the sauna with another guy. It's an uncomfortable thing to know about your boss, your new boss. Glad he didn't arrive 10 minutes later and sit in the wet spot.
What would you advise Mark to do in this situation, if anything?
Okay, one, I would probably... The patient approach, in my view, in this is to carry on saying nothing, caring about nothing, because after a few months, the mortification will go, the trust will build that you're going to say you're going to stay stumm, and mm-hmm. everything will turn to normal. And mm-hmm. Mark may become like a really valued member of the team.
You think that it's just kind of like blackmail material?
No, not that he would even blackmail, but just someone that keeps a secret like that and doesn't kind of go around and, you know, talk to people about it. Mm-hmm. And doesn't, like, you know, make a joke and doesn't bring it up and make a big drama, you're protecting Fair. That person's honor. So the other thing you could do, if that wasn't working, case is a bit harder, is go in and say, you know, I know, I know, you know, saying nothing, saying no words, like saying nothing specific, but you know, you know, I know, I know, you know.
Oh, that's very
And
direct.
I'm cool. Are you cool? Because I'm mm-hmm. totally cool. And I'm not going to say a word, and it's all fine. And I just want you to know I got you on this.
Wow. It's direct, but yeah. Okay.
It's totally direct, but it also kind of says you're also putting your cards on the table because the other person, you know, Steven's going to feel super vulnerable right now.
Yeah. And him, and that being Mark's boss, that's a kind of terrifying thing for Mark, right? Because it's like, okay. I don't like to think of boss relationships as adversarial necessarily.
No.
But you don't,
it can,
like,
be, obviously.
It can be, but like when the balance, the power balance gets really out of whack, maybe I'm thinking about this really weird, but when you have something over somebody like that and they're your boss and they're like really worried you're going to do something about it, that's like, okay, this is really weird. I now have something over you, but they don't know that I don't care.
Some people would love that, though. Some people would be like, I've got a job for life. Like, don't fuck with me. Like, some people would, right? So I can appreciate that that's what Steve's afraid of. Now, if Mark's not going to do that, I think make it clear.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, though, none of this happened at work. This is all private business. So, like, I don't think there's anything that... There's no repercussions.
Like, you get kicked out of the gym.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what? I mean,
I know who did it.
write it on the next angry sign. I know. I saw. Yeah, okay.
Wow. So
have him be direct about the sticky pickle.
Yeah.
Ew. So can I tell you the coda to how this story came into my life?
Yes.
My husband saw such a sign at the gym we were at.
Really? And did you find out that whether that was what it was or no?
So my husband tells me that it is generally known by a lot of guys that that is a place where hookups happen. In my female naivete, I had no idea.
Me neither.
So he put two and two together. He's like, oh yeah, some dudes are fucking in the sauna. And he tells me this like my very straight husband. He's like, oh yeah, guys fucking in the sauna, it's a thing. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah, like at the local gym?
Yeah, and this is not like one of those really like awesome fancy nightclubby ones. This is like the
nightclub gyms.
They're like very expensive
you guys
gyms.
Are fancy.
I don't go to places like that. They exist though. I mean, this was like a very clinical, like almost medical type gym. And he's like, oh yeah, some dudes are fucking in the sauna. This happens now and then. So he's telling me this and I'm like, the what? Are they why? And he's like, oh, it's men. You know, men do men stuff. I'm like, okay.
So you know what I wrote down? I wrote down what I thought we were going to end up saying.
Yes.
Was that they were? He was just stuffing his face with a big, gross sub sandwich, you know, submarine sandwich or something from Subway.
Is that a euphemism?
Well,
no?
It seems to be now.
Okay, Kroll, what's your sticky pickle?
Well, mine's short and sweet. Mine is short and sweet. Maria, you have been invited to a girls' night in, a GNI. Oh. Sounds like an STD, but
it could lead to one.
Yes, yeah, all with your old buddies, right? These are, you know, all your buddies now live in different cities. And once a year, you guys would get together for a weekend bash at one of your houses, right? That's the deal. And you have like a big weekend kind of, you know, pile up, catch up. Get drunk, have fun.
Oh, the best. Oh, gosh, that sounds amazing.
Right? And this is the first time since 2019 that they've been able to meet up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This time, it's at your buddy Paula's.
Okay, Paula, yes.
Yeah, Paula. So she's our host. So everyone arrives at the party, right? Drops their bags, puts food and booze in the fridge, and they all plop down for an overshare. That's what they call, you know, that's their thing.
An overshare?
Yeah, and during this overshare, they learn that Jill had a cancer scare, but she's fine. And we learn that Poppy's eldest was caught sending topless selfies to one of the boys in school.
Ain't life grand.
Yeah, and then to lighten the mood, you talked about how you'd had anal for the first time.
Thanks for putting me in the story, Carl.
You're welcome.
Wow. Okay.
Only after I wrote that, I said, I should make that Maria.
Is it because I'm Greek?
No.
Is that a Greek?
funny. So whatever. So, you know, it's everything that all of you guys want it to be, right? You're having a blast. And a few hours in, you know, the attention turns to Paula, you know, and how is it going with Jack? This is her live-in partner.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, it's great normally, but I, you know, this last week was just super shit and I almost canceled this. And they're all like, what? This says, don't worry, we just made up. But apparently, Jack wanted Paula to spring for hotel rooms for all the girls rather than have them come at the house because the deal is, you know, it's just us girls.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't have the money to pay for hotels for five of us. You crazy?
Yeah, it's pricey.
And that's not the kind of weekend this is. This is like a, you know, girls' night in weekend. You do that at someone's house and you sit around the fire and you act, you know, tell each other everything.
Aww.
And then he's like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to clear out, right? Like, this is my home now. Can I want to stay, hang out with you guys. And she's like, no. This
get the
is
fuck
a
out.
Girls' night. Get the fuck out.
Go have a guys' night out. Go have
right,
parties.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Just, it's one weekend, and like in 4 years, this is going to happen, right? Because every other weekend it's at some other place.
Yeah, find something else to do, dude. You don't want
exactly.
to be around when this is going on. The farts are going to be crazy, dude.
So my girls' night's in.
Oh, really? Oh.
No.
We you don't guys have any fart yet. Jokes? Oh, we have very different friends.
Anyway, he sulks. Jack sulks for days, right? But then finally ends up apologizing and saying he's sorry. And he says he's going to go stay with his dads for the weekend. And of course, she can have her friends over. And even this morning, she says, you know, even he gave me this as a little peace offering. And she points to this cute purple stuffed bear, right, holding a heart. So this is your sticky pickle, Maria, because you look up at the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you immediately know what it is.
Oh, I totally know what this is.
Yep. What yep. is it?
It's a nanny cam.
Uh-huh. What do you... See, I told you it was short and sweet.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
That's
okay?
So shitty that he did that.
It's so fucking shitty,
it's
right?
It's so shitty.
Yeah. I am so not cool with this personally. So I'm declaring where I'm standing at the moment on this.
Yeah, that's shitty. I'm a member of this party. I'm assuming I know my friends pretty well.
You do.
So I'm going to go the full Maria on this and immediately point it out and be like, I'm going to take this bear apart. I'm going to take the camera bits out and you can have the bear. Yeah. To me, that's a declaration of war. Essentially, I'm like, here, I'm taking the camera bit and the microphone bits out and like point it at a wall, or point it at the bear.
Yeah,
with the bear holding a sign being like, fuck you or something, like, don't spy on me. But that's I would not, the moment I saw that, I'd be like, what the fuck? That's a camera.
Yeah. And you've already overshared, right? You were talking about your, you know.
Wait, so did I notice this bear just now afterwards or before?
No, because you were like sitting at the party, you were hanging out, and it's just when your host Paula pointed at the bear, saying he even gave him this morning, that you happened to glance where she was pointing, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know. Maybe you're the kind of person that scans each room when you go in. I don't do that.
No. I'm not at DEF CON. Like, I don't do that. But I mean, maybe I should.
Let me just sweep the house before I say anything.
This is a totally normal thing that people do. No, when I notice it, I'd be like, oh, Paula, do you know? That's interesting that he gave you a cam. I probably put it like, that's interesting that he gave you like a nanny cam bear. That's an interesting gift. I would just drop it like that. Be like, interesting. Oh, you didn't know that's what it was? Oh, well, that's shitty. Let me take that out for you so you can have the bear.
I was thinking the way I might do this is kind of go look online while we're on the phone just to see and like do a compare and then just hand it over to her if I've kind of confirmed that I think it is what it is, mm-hmm. right? Just in case I got it wrong, because that would be horrific. Imagine you march in, take the fucking bear apart, right? There's only stuffing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way overthinking the depth of this story, but I'm just like, you could probably feel some of the components.
Yeah, totally.
Like you wouldn't even need to open it. I'd be like, yep, there's a microphone, there's a little tiny camera, and there's a little bit of wires to a tiny battery pack. Like, it would be small, but I'm pretty sure.
You could take the bear and go, let me look at it. Oh, and then hug it, like kind of hiding its fucking camera from everybody and like smooshing it, and then take it into the kitchen and go, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, to the something bear. Like that. Something like that. Yeah, I would not be subtle about that. I would be like, yeah, that's totes and a props.
What would you do if you were Paula and your friend happened to notice this and then didn't tell you, told you after? Oh. Didn't do anything immediately? Maybe they send you an email later kind of going, oh, you know what? I don't know. You kept saying I was quiet. Let me tell you why I was quiet. I was kind of concerned that maybe.
I would appreciate it still. I mean, like, I understand that some people would be hesitant because they were like, maybe she wants that. But at the same time, like, oh, man, it gets complicated because some people have cameras like everywhere in their homes.
Yep.
And just as a matter of course, like as a security system. So like, for all you know, you're actively being recorded on somebody's camera without knowing anyway. For all you know, Paula's got a gajillion of those cameras set up in her house normally, and she didn't think it was worth telling you about because doesn't everybody have these? I would still appreciate it. And if I was like, it's no big deal because I've got 20 cameras in my house all the time anyway. But still.
Do you?
Me personally, no.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of this through. I don't have, as far as I'm pretty sure. Now I'm like, do I have any friends that would do this? No.
You are making a really good point, though, that because cameras are becoming more ubiquitous in the home, it's more likely that you are being recorded somewhere by something. And gone are like those kind of quiet girl nights where you like let it all hair, you know?
It makes me think of, so I have a cat sitting service that I use sometimes when I'm traveling, back when I could travel.
Yep.
They have a thing on their form that says, if you have cameras in your house in any capacity, like, that's fine, but you just need to let us know. Mm-hmm. Like, just tell us that they exist. And when I met somebody coming over to coordinate for, like, taking care of my house, I was like, maybe this is a bad thing to tell them, but I was like, I don't have any cameras here. Like, I don't personally care. You can have a little party in my house when I'm gone. I don't give a shit. Like, I didn't say that, but, like... Mm-hmm. As long as my cats are alive and fed when I get back, I do not care. Just don't steal my shop.
Don't fuck on the couch.
Preferably not. If you want to play Nintendo Switch while I'm gone or read a book from my library, you can go right ahead. I don't care. But I'm different from other people, I suppose. But
well, everyone is. Everyone has their own ways about it. Anyway, it's a sticky one because, you know, this is likely to happen more often. And you know, she knows. So she does do what you do, right? She does point it out immediately because she can't help it.
Yeah.
And Paula goes fucking apeshit. And we don't know what happened afterwards, but the weekend did move to a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Can't guarantee there's no cameras there either, though, Paula. Just letting you know.
No, I know, but unlikely that it's, you know, Jack stewing, who, you know, probably just wanted to know what they were talking about. You know?
Yeah. I feel like this is a good episode of Smashing Security. We were like, do you have cameras in your house? Do you tell your guests before they come over? Da, da, da.
Dun, dun, dun. That's it for this week's episode of Sticky Pickles. They've made you smile. You know what to do. Reach out and review.
You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Yay.
Bye.
See you guys next week.